This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A joint State House committee could soon be delving into the deeply troubling audit of a state-run veterans home. That audit found, among other things, that the Grand Rapids Home for Veterans was understaffed, that workers mishandled complaints of abuse and neglect, that the home failed to conduct mandated safety checks. It was yet another reminder that Michigan's got some work to do delivering the kind of care and support that we like to think we give our military vets. And the two Iraq War vets in the Michigan legislature are launching an initiative to improve the way Michigan treats its veterans. One of them is back with us now on Stateside, Representative Tom Barrett, Republican from Potterville. Good to have you with us again, Representative.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity. It's always great to be on with you.
Before we get into this new initiative, I have to ask you about that recent audit that I mentioned of the Grand Rapids Home for Veterans. What went wrong in your view?
Yeah, I was just as heartbroken as outraged as everyone else who read the findings of that audit. We saw that they were understaffed about 80% of the time in the home, that basic room checks and fall alarm checks were not completed as necessary, and that they went as far as falsifying documents to show that they had done them when in fact they hadn't. And the Auditor General was able to use security tape footage to show that those basic checks had not been completed. It was a breakdown on all levels, I can say. There's a lot of blame on all sides of this particular issue. But I will say I think there is a light at the end of the tunnel in the sense that there's some new leadership in the home. The new Michigan Veterans Health Association chair, who's working in the home to get it Medicare and Medicaid certified, is getting very high marks from the people who are there advocating for the veterans that I've spoken to, and we're receiving some positive feedback. So I'm hopeful that we've turned a corner, but I've committed, and many of my colleagues have committed as well, to say, look, we need to have a trust but verify posture here in the legislature. We want to trust that things are improving, but we need to verify that. If the department was willing to go as far as falsifying documents to show that they were doing just the most basic standards of care in the home, then that shows we need to increase our level of oversight in the legislature. And that's what I'm committed to doing. I chair the Military and Veteran Affairs Committee in the State House, and I've given my promise that I'm going to do absolutely everything I can to improve the conditions in the home. And I'm not going to stop until I'd be comfortable with my own mom or dad staying in the home for veterans.
Because basically that was a breach of the promise that we've given our veterans.
Yes, if we're going to run a home for veterans in Michigan, as we should, then we should do it the right way. There's no excuse for not doing it above and beyond the standard that we have for every single other nursing home in the state. And that's what these homes more or less function as, in all practicality, is more or less as a nursing home. We have two of them, one in Marquette and one in Grand Rapids, the Grand Rapids one in particular being of a greater challenge right now. And we're going to work through it. I think there are some legislative changes we can already look to. And I think that we will see a lot of changes going forward, some of which could include inspection ability by the Department of Human Services to go in and inspect these homes the way that they do any other nursing home that's in, a privately owned nursing home. Other things are assigning an independent ombudsman that would report outside of the chain of command of the home for veterans. And then looking at going forward, you know, how the budgeting is done for the department, because some of the things that flagged in this audit had flagged in previous audits and had not been corrected, even though the legislature had appropriated money to fix them. So we need to step in and have a bigger hand in how this money is spent going forward to fix these problems.
And speaking of stepping in and stepping up for our veterans, you're joining with your fellow Iraq War vet, Democratic State Senator David Kinesic, in launching this initiative, the Michigan Veterans Institute. What is it?
Yeah, and we may have pointed out to you the last time we were on your show that, you know, people tend to give us a little bit of credit for working in a bipartisan way, but I've always told them they should be more impressed that the Army and the Marines are working together on anything, because that's a bigger divide to conquer.
And here you are.
And here we are together. David being a Democrat in the Senate, Marine Corps veteran, and myself in the House, a Republican and an Army soldier, and certainly we have our differences, but we really do come together on these veterans issues, and we respect one another and we appreciate one another because we are the only two Iraq War veterans serving in the legislature in Michigan. I think it gives us a unique voice to bring forward and really present the challenges that our generation of veterans have faced, and then also the generations that have come before us. We're really focused on raising awareness for those and then raising resources through our ability, the voice that we have as legislators, David in the Senate and me in the House, to really kind of kickstart some resource ability to address some of these problems. And I can tell you specifically what we're looking at is raising resources for service dogs in Michigan. Right now, veterans who have post-traumatic stress or a traumatic brain injury and require the use of a service dog to really assist them with their disability are, in some instances, waiting a year and a half, or 2 years to get a qualified service dog to help them out. We want to raise some resources to directly help veterans who are in that space to help them find a service dog, get it trained quickly, and get it out to them as quickly as possible. We also want to look at veteran homelessness. Veteran status certainly is one of the risk factors that leads to homelessness. We also want to connect veterans with job opportunities. Just as recently as 2014, we had the second highest veteran unemployment rate in the country. We want to look to address that, improving access to health care. And then a big thing that I want to look at is mentoring programs, because I think you can come home from Iraq or Afghanistan or serving in some other part of the world and never have necessarily had a civilian job in your life until after you've served in the military. And the dynamics and the culture are very different. And if you have a mentor who served in the military before you and has made this transition before you have, it can assist you to be more successful in that transition in your life as well.
And you want to get out throughout the state and listen to veterans in town hall meetings.
Absolutely. We want to be state leaders in this. It's a huge reason why both David and I ran for office in different parts of the state, and certainly with different opinions on a host of issues. But both of us focus a big part of our efforts on the care and treatment of our veterans. And it's something that we wanted to take a leadership role in. And I'm just thankful that, you know, there's someone else I can partner with in this effort. And David's been an absolutely fantastic partner in this. Him and I work very closely together. We've achieved some legislative accomplishments together already in this term. And we want to spin that off into things that might not necessarily be legislative in nature, but could also be helpful to our veterans.
Where will the funding come from?
Well, we're already raising some funding from corporate donations, but we're looking at the nonprofit charitable space that some of our corporate partners could have. AT&T has been very generous in helping us get a grant in place to help us get launched off the ground. But we also want to extend this eventually out to individuals who may be interested in donating to support a cause like this. And we're committed to doing all of this, from David and I's perspective, completely uncompensated from the charity that we're creating. It's certainly not our interest to raise money for the purpose of enriching ourselves. We want to turn this money over to the groups that directly help veterans. And we realize that we're not in a position to be the direct provider of services to veterans, but we can be the clearinghouse for all of the various groups to get them all kind of coordinated in the right direction and then support them in their direct efforts to help our veterans at a state level, a local level, or whatever level they may be at.
Representative, who do you see managing the funding and the day-to-day operations of the Michigan Veterans Institute?
You know, we're willing to partner with groups that are more on a day-to-day basis able to do this. We have some partners that we've already worked with to do that, who are more in that nonprofit space and are aware of how those things function on a day-to-day basis. And what we're doing is stepping in as the leaders in this regard to approach donors and others, raise those resources, and then find the best place to put them based on the experiences that we've had in our service, the experiences that we've seen in our brothers and sisters in arms that have served with us in the past, and then identifying the groups that are, you know, the best positioned to directly benefit these veterans. And we want to be the most able to do the most good. And that's what we're saying to people is this isn't about Republican or Democrat. It's about right or wrong. And we want to be doing the best that we can to do the most good for the veterans that we've served with and those that have come before us.
Thinking of your launching this new Michigan Veterans Institute and kind of pivoting back to what we were talking about with the Grand Rapids Home for Veterans, we know that in 2011, the state laid off about 130 nursing assistants at that home, and they outsourced the work to a private company and got about $4 million in savings. And while there were complaints, as you mentioned, about the care before this, I think it's kind of hard to ignore the fact that this arrangement with that J2S group contributed to the terrible conditions that were reported in the audit. How would you feel about letting a private company run any part of this new institute?
And that's not what we're seeking to necessarily do. But at the same time, to your point about J2S, they are absolutely at fault for the understaffing that took place in the Home for Veterans in Grand Rapids. And I'm not releasing them from blame whatsoever. But I will say that there was blame on all levels. So J2S was responsible for the staffing of the nurse assistants in the home, like you pointed out. Mm-hmm. they didn't meet their obligation. But then other things that took place, allegations of abuse and neglect, were being channeled through state workers that were in place, bureaucrats that were in place. The allegations against them were going to those people for review, and of course they were dismissed or not investigated or what have you. All of those are inappropriate. Falsifying documents was done by both contract employees as well as bureaucrats, so there's blame to be had on all sides of this. But we're not looking to necessarily privatize what we're doing through this new Michigan Veterans Institute. What we're looking to do is to provide direct grants to organizations that can most help veterans. That may be public entities, but it also might be other private charitable nonprofits that are set up to help veterans obtain service dogs, maybe dog trainers that are looking for more resources. It could be a homeless charity that helps specifically trying to help veterans find stable housing. It could be improving healthcare access or getting people transitionally onto a better healthcare system, or just helping them obtain the benefits that they're entitled to that they've been overlooked in the past. And really what we're looking to do is kind of be that clearinghouse of all of the different groups that are out there, what we can try to pull together to assist in the best way possible.
What will you do to ensure that the funding will be used to do exactly what you intend it to do?
Mm-hmm. And that really comes from a point of trust of David and I, because of our experiences in serving in the legislature as well as being veterans ourselves. We're going to vet these groups and really look at them on a level of whether or not we trust them. And if we do trust them to carry out what they're doing, then we'll certainly have accountability and we'll expect to hear results of what they've been able to do. But ultimately, everything comes with a level of trust. And that's what we will have to do, is another trust but verify, to make sure that the organizations have a track record in place and then that they are able to do the things that we expect them to do, and then the follow-up coming of, okay, what actually took place with the resources that we were able to distribute to them.
Touching back on the Grand Rapids home, because it's great to have you as a legislator and as a veteran, there's been a lot of conversation now since that audit came out about privatization, pro and con. And I've got to wonder, what are your thoughts? Was the $4 million in savings to the state worth it in your view?
I can first of all tell you that I was not here when that decision mm-hmm. was made about the privatization of the home for veterans. I will say that when the state looks to privatize to save money, we need to keep in mind that we should only be doing this when it makes sense. And we got to look at things other than the balance book. And, you know, we had situations and complications with the Aramark contract for food service in the prisons. Now we've seen problems with J2S, with what they're doing in the veterans home. You know, I'm a Republican and I believe in government efficiency and accountability, but I think that applies universally, whether you're a contractor, whether you're a state employee, whether you're not. We got to hold everybody to the same standard.
State Representative Tom Barrett, Army veteran and Republican from the 71st District. Thank you so much for being with us today, Representative.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.